How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Show on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 HD2. You can watch the show on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our four Chicagoland locations today. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. Mike is out at Arcadia Bluffs right now, and he texted me this morning, Mike. Damn, this might be the only time I'll ever say this, but I'd rather be here than over in Rome right now.
No doubt. The view that I have is absolutely extraordinary, but I would have, I think, rather have been in Rome watching a more competitive event. But, yeah, we've got 20 CDGA members coming up for what will be our final regional, because we do these throughout the summer, a regional CDGA member trip. So 20 members are making their way around Lake Michigan. I came up late last night, and Arcadia Bluffs is, when I tell you we are on the lake, I mean, I can probably hit a 5-iron over to the water right now from where I'm perched here at the clubhouse. And so the view is extraordinary. We are up north, about equidistant to where Green Bay is in Wisconsin, so as the crows fly. So we are in for an epic 3 days of weather, golf, and just fellowship amongst CDGA members. And these trips are popular, and we're going to be rolling out an even more comprehensive schedule in 2024 that will include the likes of Bandon Dunes, Pinehurst, Pebble Beach, right, Sand Valley. We're going to come back here. We're going to go to French Lick. So there is going to be all kinds of travel opportunity. And why do we do this? Because our members are passionate about traveling and playing quality golf courses in our region and around the country, let alone, and we'll go over to Ireland, or no, we're going to Scotland, I'm sorry, Scotland next year as well. So internationally, nationally, regionally, we've got it all.
That is a loaded lineup right there, and that sounds awesome. Yeah. All right, what doesn't sound awesome is what's going on over in Rome right now, because you look at how this thing quickly got out of hand. It started in the morning where the Europeans just pounced on the Americans, much like they did yesterday in the morning session. Wasn't a sweep, but it was as close as you could get without having one, really. Maybe, I guess you could have gone 3.5 and a half, but 3-1 on the early session today. And right now it is trending towards a split, but the Americans are only one down in a pair of matches right now. It looks like they've got one in the bag right now, up 5 through 13. They feel comfortable on another, and Max Homa just made a great approach shot there to maybe steal another, to potentially go up 4 up through 12 against Tommy Fleetwood and Nikolai Hogard, him and Brian Harman, that is. But the other two, if you're the Americans, you have to sweep this afternoon session if you want to have any sort of chance on Sunday when you get to the singles, especially with the way that your lineup's been playing so far. But Justin Rose and Robert McIntyre have taken the last two and are up 1 through 10 over Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And then Rory McIlroy and Matt Fitzpatrick are one up on Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark. By the way, how about Matt Fitzpatrick and the way that he has played in this Ryder Cup? Maybe the unsung hero. Like right now, Rom and Vic are getting all the headlines, and rightfully so, but the way that Matt Fitzpatrick has come to play for this European team is a big reason for their dominance right now.
Absolutely. And in fact, I think last week when we were talking, I mentioned that if the Europeans were going to do well and actually beat us, which they're doing, I mentioned I thought the two key guys were going to be Matt Fitzpatrick and Tyrell Hatton. And both have come to play. Matt Fitzpatrick yesterday put on a start of four ball like I've never seen. Six straight birdies from that young man. And now they've got him paired with Rory McIlroy, who they've now created a new pairing that I think is going to be formidable.
Nice little safety blanket. Rory McIlroy.
Have you heard that?
I did hear that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, again, it goes back to the smarts and, you know, let's face it, Luke Donald's a Northwestern graduate, so he's no dummy. He looked at everything, the analytics, the stats, the data, and he put the most amazing pairings out. So when you have that insulation of a Rory McIlroy or a Justin Rose and you're a Robert McIntyre or a Matthew Fitzpatrick, he did an extraordinary job matching personalities, games, and experience, and put it all together in just a wonderful, wonderful lineup. Every single round we go out with these guys, it's incredible. And I'm sick and tired of seeing all this blue up on the screen, and we've seen very, very little red. In fact, it took us over 10 hours yesterday to even put a half point on the board. That is what we call a shellacking, and it's like three coats of shellac.
Yeah, it's been, for an American, and quite frankly, like, you know, living in Chicago these last couple of years here, like, we had the Bears Sunday, the Cubs disintegrate this week, and now the one saving grace is we have a Ryder Cup where the Americans look like they may have the much better roster top to bottom. Nope, that's not the case, because it has been everything but. It has been tough to be a sports fan in these parts, and especially once you include the Ryder Cup, that's just sort of the cherry on top here, the one where we can all get behind, right? Like, and you just see it has been a no contest so far through the first session and a half, and it doesn't look like anything's going to change here unless somehow the Americans can salvage these final two. And it's going to come down to what does Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas have, and what do Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark have, because that is kind of your only saving grace right now as an American.
Absolutely. And, you know, Wyndham Clark, you know, he stoked the fire. He wanted Rory McIlroy. Well, he's got him right now where we need Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay to respond, and respond immediately. And, you know, just for the sake of everything else has gone wrong, I hope Wyndham Clark does get Rory tomorrow, and let's see what happens. But it's almost ironic that it's Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth that we have to rely on to at least give us a chance. So they've got to win that match three so that we at least have a chance tomorrow. If we can't, you know, reduce this deficit, it's over today. And that is just, I mean, that is, of all the Ryder Cups I've seen, this is without question the biggest blowout. And I'll just say the one I'm least interested in watching by a long stretch.
I mean, how disappointing is it? We had the whole weekend set up for us, right? Like, you had this, and it could just, it's kind of nice with the way it's structured too, because you can just kind of wake up. What I did yesterday was I recorded it. So when I woke up, I watched it. I have a 3 TV setup. On one screen, I've got it rolling from the start, so anything I missed, I can catch up on. And then on the other screen, I have it live, where it was when they were into the four balls in the afternoon yesterday. And it was just like, I saw the score when I woke up, and I saw some texts from some of my friends who either stayed up last night or were up before me. And it was just like, what? What's the point of even turning it on? Like, it was so disappointing to wake up to that news that it was over before half of America was even awake.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, to call this a butt kicking, I think is being nice. And again, we mentioned it a little bit with James about NBC, but with an NFL game going on in London that's starting in just a little while, I just think there's a lot of people who might not even be putting the Ryder Cup on today based on waking up and seeing the score, and they're just getting some errands done and going to watch football.
Yeah. It's kind of like you thought it was going to be the perfect bridge, right? Like, you'd have an NFL game that you can kind of peruse and check in on, but then you would have the Ryder Cup to sort of lead into the day of NFL action, and boy, it's just kind of a... it's just a real sort of wake-up call, I think, for this this American group. And they went over there as the aggressors, as the cocky ones, and the ones that were feeling good about everything. But then by the end of Friday, it was all over, it felt like. There was nothing that the Americans could do because there was a chance to salvage yesterday. You could have been 5-3 heading into to Saturday. You easily could have been 5-3. And instead, you wake up and you close out that Friday at a 6.5, 1.5 deficit, and it's a completely different ballgame. Completely different ballgame as you head into Saturday.
No doubt. If we were at 5-3 heading into today, it's
there's
a
intrigue.
Different mindset. It's a different game. It is. It just really is. And, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And so I guess, you know, what do we learn from this? Well, we learn we better pick a different type of captain. So who does become the captain in 2025? And I think as I look at what's going on this weekend, I can only say the best news is that the Ryder Cup, when it comes to Bethpage, isn't happening this week at Bethpage because they're getting 8 inches of rain over the last couple of days.
It hasn't stopped raining since Thursday night.
I know. And what's amazing about Ryder Cup in the Eastern Seaboard, having worked it down at Kiawah, it's hurricane season.
Yeah.
And in 1991, we couldn't even get any American company to insure the event because we were holding the event on the anniversary of Hurricane Hugo that hit in 1989, which was one of the biggest hurricanes ever to hit. So it influenced us in 1999 when we were in Boston. So this is smack in the middle of hurricane season, and, you know, Bethpage is just getting hammered with rain. But given all of that, when we go to New York in 2 years, who should be the captain? And I'll ask you, what do you think?
Why don't we address that when we come back here on the other side? Because it is not looking pretty for the Americans, but we will do that when we return here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore. And I've got a couple things that the captains need to consider heading into New York in a couple years from now. We'll do that when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment is brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking some Ryder Cup with you here on ESPN 1000. The Americans, the way it's projected right now, will be down 11.5 to 4.5 after day two of the Ryder Cup. Essentially ending the entire competition here for 2023. But Mike, you asked a good question right before the break there. Listen, Zach Johnson hasn't been it. And it has been about as disastrous as it could have been in a year where the Americans not only were favored, but some thought could win comfortably given the circumstances of, all right, no LIV players on the European side, so heavy advantage America, right? Nope. That has been far from the case so far. And if you're the Americans looking for your next captain, where do you turn? I think that when you open it up and you think about some players that would, and again, 2025, hopefully a lot of things are smoothed out. Hopefully LIV players will be a part of the equation when the event returns to American soil here. But in terms of who a captain might be, who would make a good captain, I think, and again, this is very contingent on how LIV is viewed in 2025, but wouldn't Phil Mickelson maybe be the guy?
Well, that's one that comes to mind, as does, you know, some of the other guys on LIV eventually. But I think you've got to go back to Superman. You got to get Tiger. You got to make him the captain in New York. I mean, and let Tiger, you know, prepare everyone in a Tiger way and not treat it as an exhibition. And I think that's part of what happened. I don't think these guys prepared like they typically prepare for majors. And I think having the discipline and the mindset of having Tiger as your captain, I think immediately creates a different vibe a different expectation. I just think, you know, Zach Johnson, nice guy, but I just don't think he, I don't think the players responded to him. And I think if you try to get too old, the modern player is not going to relate, or the captain won't relate to the modern player. I think the players that are there that are coming out because of Tiger, and now they are the new breed coming in, would look up to a Tiger still at this point. I think we need Tiger Woods as the captain in 2025.
I don't think, like, you can't go wrong with Tiger. I mean, when you talk about the respect factor, he's going to have the ear of everyone in that room when he gets up there and kind of lays out the stakes. Here's what I would have liked. I almost would like Tiger to be a captain when it's back on European soil, because they need some sort of kick in the butt when they are going to try to snap, when we get there, what will be a 34-year drought of not winning on European soil.
Well, I'd go even so far to say I would keep him captain in 2025, 27, probably just... in 29, and just let it go, because that's what they used to do.
Yeah, it used to
and
be long
run. If you
running.
Take these live players, there's going to be a drought of really who could we get as captain? Stuart Sink, Matt Kuchar, Steve Stricker. The late Payne Stewart would have made a lot of sense, but he's not with us. So who is it? I think we make a we use Tiger Woods to our advantage for the next few Ryder Cups and let it be Tiger-led, and if possible, bring Phil on as a vice captain to help mend that, and ultimately Phil could then be a captain. Another guy that could be a captain ultimately is Bubba Watson. He's played in four of these things. So there are some players down there, but I'd love to see Tiger be the guy that's grooming the next captains beyond the years that he does it. But I agree with you. I think at least in 25 and in 27, I think Tiger could set the chemistry, the culture, and the expectation in 2025, and then just bring the formula over there and finally bring this thing back.
Yeah, I think when you talk about a respect factor and guys, a guy that these guys grew up watching, maybe even the reason why some of these guys are golfers these days, like it's Tiger, it's Phil, and like you got to have both those guys in the room. And I think, too, if you had Phil as a part of the equation for 2025, again, we don't know what golf's going to look like in 2025 from a professional standpoint. What's the LIV versus PGA battle going to ultimately look like by the time we get there? But I think having a guy like Phil, or you also brought up Bubba, another name off of the LIV tour there, having one of those two guys in the room would certainly help with a chemistry standpoint if these guys aren't playing on the same tour. Like, if we can get together and we can agree upon things in a room, you guys should be able to go out there and execute together on a golf course.
Exactly. And a guy like Tiger, he wakes up each day with one thought in mind, and that's to win, to be the best. And I guarantee you, he wouldn't hesitate in one second to get in your face if necessary. But at the same time, I think Tiger has matured over the years that he'd be the same guy that he'll know when to put his arm around you and lend that type of encouragement that only he could impart based on who he is and what he's seen and what he's done over his wonderful career.
No doubt about that. So the latest update right now, Hovland and Oberg are four down against Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa. That is one that the Americans look like they're going to win, but I said that two holes ago, and it's been back-to-back European holes gained on that side there. Another one where the Americans are feeling comfortable, Brian Harman and Max Homa are four up with five to play right now against Tommy Fleetwood and Nikolai Hogard. Justin Rose and Robert McIntyre one up on Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And then Rory McIlroy and Matt Fitzpatrick currently one up on Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark. It's those last two matchups that I just mentioned there that need to turn the Americans' way if there's going to be any semblance of hope. If you can somehow get this thing to 9.5, 6.5 by the time we get to tomorrow, the door is slightly ajar. But I just don't know if you're going to be able to, because there's been no momentum there on those bottom two matchups with JT and Spieth, and then also with Cantlay and Wyndham Clark. Cantlay and Wyndham Clark haven't won a hole yet. And granted, they've split on all but one so far, but they haven't won one yet. And quite frankly, those two guys haven't been up to snuff so far in the Ryder Cup this year.
No, they really haven't. And, you know, I worried, I was concerned when Wyndham Clark made those comments. I'm like, oof. You know, it's better to be quiet and then be just amazing at the Ryder Cup versus being loud coming in and then laying an egg. And to your point, they haven't won a hole yet. And JT and Jordan, they've only won two, and the last one was on the seventh hole. So it'll be interesting on these first two matches, though. We do have four-up leads. We're dormy in the first match, which means there is no way we can lose. We could certainly tie.
Mm-hmm.
But
would be
this
disastrous.
Is where we were kind of yesterday. Yeah, this when I asked, could anything possibly go more wrong, and then we had the 9 and 7, well, if we somehow work out a half point, and we only get half points out of these first two or one of them, that would be then the next worst thing that could happen to us. We have to get those two. And to your point, we've got to salvage one of the bottom two matches. And hopefully somewhere, somehow, Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay can at least win two holes between now and then and not lose any others.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't know what was worse, the 9 and 7 or the halving of the three in the afternoon four balls. The Saturday morning 9 and 7 or having the three where you had leads and just kind of choked them away down the stretch. Especially like the one that certainly comes to mind is what happened with Rahm and Hogard having against Brooks and Scotty. I mean, that should have been the most formidable pairing possible. And for so much talk about, oh, how would Brooks gel with this American team? Him and Scotty seemed like they had a great vibe going together yesterday in the afternoon. And to see it, not necessarily I wouldn't say they choked, but John Rahm just stepped his game up on the 16th and 18th, finishing with eagles on two of the last three holes. And that sort of destroyed any momentum that the Americans may have had. And you would be looking at this thing completely differently heading into today, especially if you could secure three of these afternoon sessions.
Yeah, and there's just a lot that has to start going right for us. And it's been a weekend that it just seems that everything has been going Europe's way. And that's golf sometimes. Sometimes, no matter how hard you try and the harder you try, it just gets worse. And, you know, again, I think between not feeling well, you know, the journey, and I have to be honest with you, being a part of these Ryder Cup weeks, it's a long week. It's exhausting. These guys, A, travel, B, all the social engagements in the evenings and the different things that they're required to do all through Ryder Cup week, the opening ceremonies, the changing of clothes that they have to go through for galas and opening ceremonies. It's crazy. The golf becomes almost secondary in a sense, and for the United States team, we truly have treated it as such. It's been a primary focus for Europe all the way across the board, and I just think we went over there to look like to play an exhibition, and that's what we've done.
You know, you bring up the comment made by Zach Johnson yesterday about the sniffles going around the American team. Did that make you a little more frustrated? Like, that's one thing I feel like you don't bring up. You let it go. I feel like the excuse making from Zach Johnson certainly angered some American fans yesterday.
I agree, and I think, Zach, the moment he said it, he wished he could pull those words right back into his mouth because he was creating a story that probably didn't need to be there, and it didn't necessarily need to be there and shouldn't have been there at all during the 3 days. You have plenty of time from Monday on to tell us how sick and how brutal and how, you know, poor everybody was feeling, and I'm sure we'll get a steady diet of that, but to your point, I felt like, really? Are you going to really try to tell us that that's the reason and that you're going to point to that as some of this? They just flat out beat you and just, you know, tip your hat to them. And that's the end of that. For him to get into this and then when asked specifically who, what's going on, whatever, then he clams up. He doesn't feel like it's right to then talk about it. Well, guess what? You brought it up, not us. So, you know, I think that was a huge boo-boo by Mr. Johnson, for sure.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, Mike, I want to discuss the absence of Liv. How is it being felt? And quite frankly, would it have made any difference? We'll talk about that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin, alongside Mike Gilligan out at Arcadia Bluffs, Tyler Aki in the Old National Bank State Street Studios. Final golf show here on ESPN 1000 for the season. Looking forward to being back with you all next year. And well, what a year it's been so far. We've seen a merger between the LIV and PGA Tour, or have we? That remains to be seen. But we've had a great year of majors. We've got a Ryder Cup as well this year. A lot of things going on in the world of golf. This we do have to update you on. Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa have picked up a point for the U.S. team, 4-3, over Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg. So the Americans now, the deficit trimmed by 1.5 to 3.5, and looking to hopefully pick up another point here with Max Homa and Brian Harman, who are 4-up through 13 against Tommy Fleetwood and Nikolai Højgaard there. As for what else is going on in the Ryder Cup right now, Justin Rose and Robert McIntyre are 1-up on Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy and Matt Fitzpatrick 1-up on Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark. Rose and McIntyre, they're through 11, and McIlroy and Fitzpatrick, they are through 10 in their matchups there. So a little bit of progress being made. You got to chip away, but it's starting to get late now, as the single session is right around the corner. So lots to certainly still be desired for this American team if they want to kick it into gear and maybe have a chance tomorrow.
Yeah, our backs are to the wall. I mean, they now need to go into a different mindset, and there's no need to now start laying back or being conservative, but they still need to be somewhat mindful of not being too out of hand and being too aggressive and throwing the whole thing away. But if we can get just one point out of those bottom two, we still have a chance tomorrow. And if, by the grace of God, if we could get both of those, we would be in a really, really good spot, because now this thing called momentum is shifting. But if they can stop this momentum this afternoon with these other matches, it's going to be pretty formidable for us to come back tomorrow when they are just so very close to 14.5. If they walk off with 10.5 points and all they need are 4 points tomorrow out of 12 matches, you know, chances are slim and none, and slim, I think, is heading out of town.
Yeah, it is starting to get out of hand a little bit now, and you're starting to worry a little bit from the American side of how this thing just got and went so awry here. Some good news to report. Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark just squared things up through 11. So hopefully a little bit of momentum heading the Americans' way. But it has been a tough sledding so far for this American team. And then if I'm looking at this correctly, or no, that is what I just saw. Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark squaring things up through 11 there. So Americans with some work to do. I will say this. Thank God Sam Burns won that four ball with Colin Morikawa convincingly, or otherwise, the Mullet Boys of Koepka and Burns, like, they would be getting a lot of you-know-what from Americans for maybe not taking this thing so seriously and just kind of making a mockery out of everything.
Well, I'm glad to see Sam Burns turn things around, because I mean, I think I would have been putting a, you know, a poor grade on him as of going into today. But thankfully, I mean, he has just flipped his game in a heartbeat. And maybe that's the difference of feeling kind of crummy versus now feeling good. If we can somehow salvage and only be a few points down, maybe tonight the rest, everyone else starts to feel a bit better. And we do a little rerun of 1999 at the Country Club, which was a similar situation when we were so far behind, but yet we made it all up in singles. And it is quite possible, but somewhere between now and tomorrow morning, somebody's got to inject some heart into this team, and let's get it going. And we could end on a nice high note with Justin and, you know, Jordan Spieth and, you know, Wyndham and his match. If we can get those in, that could be just the spark and the momentum that we have that we need to go in tomorrow. And maybe for the first time all weekend, we could make the Europeans start to think.
And Justin and Jordan have never lost as a pairing together in the four balls. They're 2-0-1. So if they can salvage anything, that would be a big thing for the U.S. right now. So as of now, where it stands, it's projected to close out the day at 11 for Europe and 5 for the U.S. So 11-5 is your projected score after today. But we'll see if they can make a little bit of noise here to close things out down the stretch. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show, I brought to your attention before the end of the break, would Liv even have made a difference if some of these guys were here? So some of the notable absences, no Ian Poulter, no Sergio Garcia on the European side, on the American side, no Dustin Johnson, no Bryson DeChambeau. Like, the way you look at it right now and what's sort of transpired so far, would it have even made a difference if Bryson and DJ were here? I still lean towards yes, just because they were so dominant the last time around at Whistling Straits. But I don't know if it's making enough of a difference to maybe allow the Americans to overcome this European team on European soil.
Well, I think now whether or not it would have made a difference to win, I think it would have made a huge difference on yesterday morning. I just think having Bryson, DJ, Brooks, and JT, those four somehow being in the matches, or at least in some of the morning matches, would have just their mere presence alone. And when you go back to Whistling Straits, again, those three live players, take JT out of it for a second, they came up with over half the points that we earned in 2021 and that shellacking we gave them. So that would have been in their minds that these are the guys, these are the three bullies that beat the snot out of us up in Wisconsin. We didn't have those. We only had one of the three. And when I was out at LIV this past week and watched Bryson DeChambeau play some golf, he plays a different game. He just does. Love him or like him or hate him, it doesn't matter. The guy hits it a flipping mile, and he can be, when he's on, he's as straight as anybody. And I think he would have been an asset to the team over there. Despite what people feel about him as a person, I think he would have been a formidable person to walk up to the first tee with. I would take him as my partner in a heartbeat to go out there. But again, would this make the difference over the long haul? Well, maybe not, but we'll never know. But I do like the idea that on Friday morning, the outcome certainly wouldn't have been 4-0.
No, I'm with you there. And like, you've got two vets, and they're not just vets. They've been fantastic over the last couple of Ryder Cups. And you think about what they did in Wisconsin. You're right. It would not have been a sweep. You probably, in all likelihood this morning, would not have seen a 3-1 either. Like, these guys would have given the Americans a real shot of winning this thing. And it all of a sudden, like, makes you wonder, like, Zach Johnson, like, this is just more sort of fuel to that fire now for Zach Johnson of, you could have had him. There were no rules on this side, on the American side. You could have played by different rules here. And the fact that you chose not to is feeling a little hollow at this point. And if you're on this side, you're like, wow, it maybe could have really been different, or at least could have, you could have had some intrigue leading into Sunday. Now we're looking like, Are we going to even have a Sunday worth watching from the American side of things?
Well, exactly. And, you know, to your point, yeah, Bryson and those guys would have helped Friday for sure. Maybe not the long haul, but I still think that they would have been a formidable pairing. The fact that Zach Johnson did not even talk to them, that's the part that's puzzling to me. You didn't even give him a chance. You never had any conversation. The only conversation, as I'm hearing now, is he only talked to Brooks, never talked to DJ, never talked to Bryson. So they knew from the get-go that they were not going to even be considered, which I think was a mistake. And for the LIV players, those guys are a little bit longer in the tooth. This actually was a blessing in disguise, and maybe this is exactly what they were thinking. Like, this is the ultimate time to use this so we don't have to use the players that are questionable,
right,
and maybe not as good as some of the players we already have. So this is the perfect excuse to leave them over there. Let's bring Ludwig in. Let's bring in some of these new players, Robert McIntyre and company, and let's, you know, let's rebuild the band for the years to come. Our LIV players, DJ, Bryson, and Brooks, are still playing really, really excellent and elite type of golf, mm-hmm. and that exactly how Brooks made the team. But Bryson and DJ were, you know, if you would have given them some additional events, they would have earned to earn points. They would have earned them, but they only had such very few, and to still be in the talk, I still go back to it's match play. These guys have incredible records, and the experience and their ability to perform under this format is worth its weight in gold. And I find it just still puzzling how we look at 72 hole events, the same type, week after week after week, and we take the highest point guy, and it's basically an all-star game is really what it comes down to, because we're just taking the best players that perform over a set period of time over stroke play. Granted, the Europeans are, but the Europeans have the magic and the formula to be able to select the players that will best work and create the 12 best players as a team versus the best 12 individuals, and we still continue to send 12 individuals over, and we just don't create that same team culture, that same vibe that the Europeans have done. Well, it'll be now for the past 30 years, assuming tomorrow and today doesn't end the way we want.
Here's the thing that I think can really frustrate Americans, wherever you stand on the LIV side of things, but Bryson, and I know you talked about teams versus individuals, but Bryson was firing rounds in the 50s to close out his year. And we're going to leave that. We're going to leave that at home. We're not going to take that with us over yep. to Rome. That's, I think, the thing that really has got to be frustrating on the American side. All right. When we come back here, we will go around the CDGA for one final time. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. One final segment here for the season on the CDGA Golf Show. Mike, first off, it's been a blast working with you all year long, all the way back from the Chicago Golf Show out at Rosemont. It was a great way to kick off the show. And then, boy, we got an entertaining ride through the golf season with the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, everything that's sort of intermingling, and then you cap it all off with the Ryder Cup now. So it's been a true joy working with you every single Saturday morning, with the occasional Sunday splashed in there as well. Hey, how about this? I mean, we played golf together for the first time as well this year, and what a place to have our first golf round together. Olympia Fields, how about that for the BMW Championship Media Day? So we had quite the experience this year, and hopefully we'll have another great one next year.
Well, honestly, it's been an honor and a privilege to work with you, Tyler. You are the ultimate professional, and it's going to be amazing to watch you ascend in your career. I eventually will be proud to say that I once worked with you when you're on the national big screen at ESPN, because you have a bright, bright future, and it's just been a joy. I've learned so much from you. So kudos to you for driving everything and making this as easy as pie for me to be on this end of it. It's been a real joy.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to, before we get into around the CDGA, I just got a notification from a couple of people, and I guess it's starting to buzz around that Ricky may have, in fact, have COVID. Mm-hmm. And how do we know that? Well, we'll know tomorrow. And why? Because if he's, in fact, sick, there is a, what they do in Ryder Cup is they put a name in an envelope. Each team, each captain does this, and they turn it into the head referee. So if somebody can't play due to illness, injury, or otherwise, the player in the envelope comes out, it becomes announced, and that person doesn't play tomorrow for the other team. So if Ricky's sick, there'll be one European that will sit down, and we will split that point. That's not a good thing for us.
Yeah.
Because we can't even afford to give away a half a point. So hopefully this isn't true. Hopefully Ricky can rebound and he's playing and we can grab that full point, because we can't be generous anymore in giving away half points and expect to win this thing. But as far as around the PGA, the CDGA, the October Digital will be out in a couple of weeks, so be looking out for that. Last week we had the friend of the show, Tournament Chairman Rich Peterson, as a guest of the promoting the Champion of Champions as the Tournament Chairman. So congratulations to Mike Misker of Glenflora for winning the Richard Peterson Champion of Champions out at Park Ridge. Mike fired a 71, finishing one shot ahead of Michael Reed from LaGrange Country Club. You know, and as good as these guys are, Mike was still seven shots off the course record. So who has that from the back tees? Well, glad you asked. Fred Funk. In 2014, he broke Mark O'Meara's record at Park Ridge and shot 64. So interesting day that we had out there. Breaking news, the USGA has announced this week that the winners of the 2024 Illinois State Amateur, as well as the Women's Illinois State Amateur and the Women's Junior Amateur, will all receive exemptions into the United States Amateur, the Women's Amateur, and the Women's Junior Amateur. So because our championships and our level of play in the state of Illinois is at such a high level, our state has been granted those exemptions, which I think makes our fields become actually even stronger. So congratulations to, the CDGA and the USGA for recognizing the great golf that's played in Illinois. Another congratulations out to Pat Polacek and Liz Yacano from Bartlett Hills, and second place Leslie Ambrose and Connie Cusk from the LPGA Amateur Golf Association for finishing first and second in the Senior Tour Trifecta Championship over at Arrowhead. Ladies had a great day. They battled the weather, but they came out on top and won a couple of stay-and-play trips to Tullymore Resort. And lastly, CDGA members, I know there's still time out there, chance to get out and play some golf. Bowes Creek has a CDGA member special for 18 holes around a golf with a cart for $59. And Fox Bend has the $80 twosome special going on. Phillips Park has $80 as well for a twosome. And Bartlett Hills, get this, $49 Monday to Thursday anytime in the month of October. So plenty of good golf still to be played. The leaves are just starting to turn. I still find it some of the best times of the year. And to everyone who's been listening, I'll just simply say see you next year when we start another fun season together. And we'll be coming from the 2024 golf show. So in the meantime, keep working on your short game, develop some New Year's golf resolutions, and let's reconnect on February 24th, 2024. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.
All right.
Let's chat soon.
Sounds good to me. All right. That's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Cock Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. We will talk to you next year.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.